Well, greetings, brethren. Well, my name is Dave Kaufman. Most of you know me for a few years, and most of you know that I've been sermonizing around the kitchen table for quite some time. This is my first official sermonette. So at the end of it, I'm sure that the compliment should be, you know, Dave, that is the best sermonette you've ever given. It's also the only sermonette I've ever given, so either way, I win. Okay. One of the reasons we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles is to talk about and think into the future time that we'll be coming into. But we have to pass through a time, just like Noah had to pass through the flood. We will have to also pass through that time, period. It's not some, we like to think beyond it, but we also will have to face that certain future. In a short period of time, we will be facing the greatest environmental disaster ever since Noah's flood. I wonder if you can imagine that. It's the greatest since Noah's flood. As Noah exited the ark, he stepped onto a land devastated by the flood. What Noah saw was unimaginable. It defies description. We soon will be facing similar circumstances, and we will be called upon to create the paradise of the world tomorrow, envisioned in this Feast of Tabernacles. The world that will be is hard to imagine. It defies description. That's why we're here at this Feast of Tabernacles. That's why we choose beautiful places to be in, so it can help us to envision that. The world that now is will be equally unimaginable to those that will grow up in that world tomorrow. How do you explain to people 800 years into the millennium what war is like when they've never seen war? My focus today is on the environment. Many sermons and sermonettes at the feast or throughout the year are talking about people, okay? But when you take a basic survey of all the verses in the Bible regarding the millennium, it talks about people, you know, rising up and people learning. It's a picture of a whole environment. The lion and the lamb, little child, rivers of living water. It's in an environmental picture. What way will we use to produce this world tomorrow? Okay. Does God have a basic environmental law? And why has man, given 6,000 years, failed to produce an environmental utopia? We've had plenty of opportunity. What has Satan done to produce such chaos? In the 1980s, there was this beer commercial. It was quite clever and received so much airtime that even those who never watched football will be familiar with this. It was even used in one of our spokesman clubs as the warm-up. Okay, remember this? Go. Tastes great! Less filling! Tastes great! Less filling! Okay, remember that beer commercial? Here you had two sets of jocks. Okay, they were on both sides of the bar, and the bar stools were coming up. They were about ready to fight, because one side felt the best beer was one that should taste great, and one side thought the best beer is one that should be less filling. Now, what had been thrown into the situation? What is in football and sports and all that? What is Satan's competition? Okay, what is the perfect beer? And the senior jock essentially comes into the commercial, hey, beer should taste great and be less filling. Okay, it's not a whole picture. It's not, what does Satan do? What was introduced? Essentially, what does Satan do? He introduces competition. And what happens? The fingers are divided. Okay, Satan doesn't come in knocking on the door, hey, I'm here to change the rules. All he has to do is take something like beer and say, compete. It's very subtle. Keeping in this in mind, let's see what happened in the Garden of Eden. Okay, again, Satan didn't come in changing the rules in the environment. You'll see the rules around. They're still intact. Okay, what's been introduced. It should come as no surprise to you that our environmental problems all started in the Garden of Eden. Where did Mr. Armstrong constantly go back to for the source, the initiation of all our problems? It all started in the Garden of Eden. So let's take a look there, because we're going to also find our solution. Now let's turn into Genesis 2:15. And it's not a race like last night at the game. But I do have markers. That's the handy thing about doing a sermonette. You've got the markers. And the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Why? To dress and to keep it. There is the basis of the environmental law right there. Dress and keep. Now, reading in Josephus, this is in the first chapter of Josephus, God created Eve so that man could have a society. Man cannot have a society alone. Man cannot have children alone. He also told Adam to essentially, quote unquote, take care of the plants. The word dress in Strong's is 5647. It essentially means to work, to bring into service. For my purposes today, we'll call it develop. Essentially, man was told, develop a society, develop a civilization, develop cities, develop the countryside. Now, the word keep in Strong's is 8104. It essentially means to guard, protect, be circumspect, take heed, observe, preserve, reserve, save. You'll hear this in the context in used in the environment. Say, save the whales, save the spotted owls, save the rainforest. And we have nature reserves and preserves here and there. In fact, we volunteer on one. Dress and keep are not two ways, okay? They're not two ways divided, as in, say, our beer commercial, okay? It's not two ways in competition. It's one way working in harmony. We are supposed to have a society, a civilization, cities, farms. Essentially, we are to develop the world while at the same time saving the environment. Have a society, but take care of the plants. This is the environment pictured by the world tomorrow. But what do we have today? We just, like in our beer commercial that I used as an example, we have developers on one side of the room screaming, dress! And we have environmentalists on the other side of the room screaming, keep! And they're, like in our beer commercial, picking up the bar stools. They're ready to fight. And they do fight. You see it on TV. You see it in politics all the time. They fight with one another. Because why? Satan didn't change the rules. He introduced competition. Let's examine in detail the way of dress. One need only go to a major metropolitan area to see this in action on a large scale. Cities like Phoenix, where we live near, have grown so large that they actually change local weather patterns. I've lived there all my life. I've seen it. I know it. People that just move in don't understand what normal is in Phoenix. I know normal. I've lived normal. It is not normal. Large weather storms break up as they hit the heat bubble and become much, much smaller storms, leaving much less rain. In fact, on the way here, I was listening on the radio, and they're trying to come up with a better asphalt, one that doesn't retain the heat. What sense is that? It's the way of dress. Of the dress way of life in overdrive. Developers keep very little, if anything. Arizona used to be known for its citrus. And when I grew up in school, you had the three C's. There is no citrus now. You used to be able to picnic along the Salt River. I did that as a child. It's a gravel pit and eyesore. As cities expand, they they go out into sprawl. They leave a rotting core in the center. What happens is they call it revitalization. Essentially, they try to use the dress way of life to fix the dress way of life. They don't address the problem. Now let's examine the way of keep in detail. Today's active proponents of the way of keep are typically easy to spot. They're usually chained to a tree, sitting in a tree, or if they're on short time, they'll be hugging a tree or pouring acid on SUVs. The proponents of the way of keep want you to touch nothing. Nothing should be dressed or developed. Don't touch that forest. Don't dam that river or stream. All development is evil. They'll tell you development is causing global warming. That's bad. Letting your place become overgrown is called getting back to nature. That's good. And what, as an aside, I mean, we 2 years ago we had these huge, the Rodeo Chetiskai fire in the middle of the state, and it burned the acreage the side of Connecticut and Rhode Island together. And the reason it was burned was because logging was held up. The keepers lost the entire forest that they meant to save because of the way of keep. We have various groups organized to save various things. We have Greenpeace, Nature Conservancy. Now, that one is probably one of the better groups that comes as closest to the, if you can call it a balance in this world. Panda Society, Earth Liberation Front. The way of keep extends even to cultures and societies. Detrimental and substandard cultural practices are preserved and celebrated. Body piercing, eating your neighbor, living in grass and mud huts. All these things are to be preserved. It's called being culturally aware. Just open the National Geographic over the years and you'll see it, this attitude in action. Don't develop. Celebrate it. Take pictures. What's the end result of the competition and the division introduced by Satan? The way of dress and keep out of balance, at odds with one another. Let's turn in Revelation 11:18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear the name small and great. And that shouldest, and this is the main part, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. What's the end result of this? Developers will inevitably destroy what they intend to develop. Environmentalists will in the end destroy what they intend to save. And God, and we will, have to step in to put a stop to it. We've been called to learn the principle that Adam was told about from the very beginning. It's not two ways in competition. It's not two ways pitted against one another. It's one way, a harmonious way. A balanced way, a way that develops as it saves. The church put this way into practice on three campuses. In the Pasadena church, they took a rundown slum area. In Big Sandy, they took a virgin woodland. They turned them both into award-winning campuses. It wasn't done by bulldozing everything and starting from scratch all at once. A great deal of discernment, now we've heard that word used before over the years, discernment was used over time. It's the same type of discernment talked about in Malachi 3:18. Let's turn there. Malachi 3:18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now, we've heard a lot about discernment. Where does discernment come? It comes from a returning. Discernment comes from the top down. It does not come from the bottom up. Society wants you to, and the people want you to, when they say discern, they want you to look around and figure out your way to God. Figure out how to get close to God. Discerning from the bottom up. That's how you can tell an intellectual is one that's taking me around and discerning their way up. Discernment comes from returning to God, returning to the foundation. Once you have that, then you can discern. Then you are given that. You do not have to work up discernment like trying to work up faith. It doesn't come that way. It comes with a returning. Once you're there, the discernment is there. You don't have to work it up. So when we have that discernment of God, we will be able to discern who is righteous, who is wicked. We can also discern in our environment what to do. So in the way that when on the campuses, when trees and bushes, etc., served God and served the purpose of the campuses, they were kept, they were trimmed, they were beautified. When they ceased to be of service or stood in the way of service, they were bulldozed and something better put in its place. Now this is how Mr. Armstrong, when he said, I didn't build this college, I didn't build this auditorium, he didn't. It was discernment coming from above. Discernment that said, this is the way you should do it. And so yes, Mr. Armstrong did not build the college, he did not build the auditorium, he did not beautify the campuses. It came from God. A good illustration of this way in progress is from the August 28, 1967 article, What You Haven't Seen Before on Ambassador College. From that article, this is Mr. Armstrong talking. Our campuses are beautiful, yes indeed, but they are not yet complete. As the work grows, our campuses must expand. And expanded areas are not as yet as so beautiful. In the end, you had campuses, homes, and environments that reflected the mind of God in a millennial setting. Now, if we have that discernment, we should have this on our homes and our properties. Our homes and properties should reflect the mind of God. Let me give you another example, and this is the reason I sent the video out to those, and it's the reason I have that picture going around. It's a story that we will see replayed again and again in the opening years of the millennium. It's the story of the Hassayampa River Preserve, where my family and I volunteer. Here's the story. In 1871, the Frederick Brill family immigrated from Prussia to Arizona. They took possession of a section of the Hassayampa River. This portion of the Hassayampa River ran year-round, and it had a stream, spring-fed lake. He proceeded to cut down trees and start an extensive orchard. He also started Arizona's first carp farm, its first guest ranch, and operated a stagecoach stop. One of the names the guest ranch went by? The Garden of God. As time went on and overuse set in, it no longer could be called the Garden of God. It became the Lazy RC. Cattle were introduced, which ate all the young trees before they could reach maturity. The lake was dredged, widened, springs became plugged. As cottonwoods and willows died, they were cleared for firewood. In the 1980s, all that remained of the Garden of God was a trashy trailer park. The lake was used for water skiing. In 1986, it was about to be sold once again to a gravel company. What started out as the Garden of God was going to be a gravel pit. This was the result of the way of dress individually going unchecked. Instead of becoming a gravel pit, the Nature Conservancy bought it. This organization practices the way of keep. The lake was drained, the carp removed, springs unplugged. Large truckloads of trash were hauled off. And then, without realizing, they inadvertently practiced one of God's laws. they gave the land its Sabbath. Although it's not completely revitalized, in 20 years of the way of keep and the land getting its Sabbath, it has nearly removed all the damage done by 100 years of unchecked dress. That's why I sent the picture out. You'd be surprised what it used to look like. I've seen video of it, although I wasn't there. It's amazing. Today, when I take a tour group out or when I'm with people, I stand in front of Palm Lake, and that's the picture I sent out, and I just mention, did you know that that used to be used for water skiing? And you ought to see the mouths drop. They can't imagine it. It's unimaginable. It defies description. In just 20 short years, the destruction wrought on that section of the Hassayampa River is almost gone. It's getting harder to find. You can still find it. It's still there a little bit, like a few scorched trees and such, but it's getting harder to find. You can't find where the trailer park almost used to be. The Garden of God is returning to the Garden of God. This is something we will be seeing again and again and again in the millennium, as the world is brought back into the balance, as the way of the division, of the competition, of the way of dress and keep being separated will be removed. Satan will be removed. The competition will be removed. It will once again become a one harmonious way. Mr. Armstrong stated more than once that he thought it would take 2-3 generations to change the people to the right way of living. And he's probably right, as people have to unlearn bad habits. It's 10 times harder to unlearn a habit than it is to start a new one. But I have a feeling, based on what I've seen at the preserve there, that the environment will probably bounce back much sooner than imagined. We can and will see results in the environment much more rapidly. Let's see what we start with. And we'll be starting with this in just a few short years. Turn it to Isaiah 6, 11 through 12. Isaiah 6, 11 through 12. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now, let's see what we'll be finishing with. Ezekiel 36, 33. 36, 33 through 36. Thus saith the Lord, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste places will be rebuilt. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like what? The Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you, you shall know that I the Lord, where does discernment come? Have builded the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Will we do it? Yes. But where will discernment to do it come from? The source is God. You see, we will have come full circuit, full circle. Man started in the Garden of Eden. That's where the society started with. Where do we wind up? Where do we finish with? Where does this world finish with? It started in the Garden of Eden. It will finish in the Garden of Eden. What was the way of Eden? What was the instruction given to man? Dress and keep. What's the way to Eden? Dress and keep. What's the way to Eden? Dress and keep.